Thank you, ladies. And, oh, yeah, you too. Carlos died. Carlos was a Japanese man living in São Paulo, Brazil. He was 33 years of age. But he was deaf. Being deaf, he had never once heard of God, of Jesus, of salvation, didn't know what sin was. 33 years of age, in a Roman Catholic country, he had never heard the word God. When he died, he was on an operating table in the hospital. Fortunately, that's where his heart stopped, because the doctors were right there, were able to apply the necessary equipment and to get his heart started back again shortly thereafter. Eventually, Carlos walked out of the hospital alive. 3 months after he walked out of that hospital, having died on the operating table, he walked into an apartment where I was holding Bible studies with deaf adults. He had been invited that week with his girlfriend to come to the Bible study. He didn't even know what that was. When he got there, he and his girlfriend, I had been already several months teaching through the Creation to Christ series. And I thought, what am I going to do tonight? This couple is brand new. They haven't heard any of it. If I stay where I'm at, it's not going to make sense to them. And I thought, well, this might be my only opportunity. I'll go back to Genesis 1 and I teach Genesis 1. So I did. And I started talking about day 1, day 2, God creating the earth, God creating the firmament, God separating the waters from the waters. Day 3, God planting trees and flowers and fruit trees and all that goes with that. And it obviously became dry land that day, came up out of the water. Day 4, the sun, the moon, the stars. I've got a whiteboard so I can draw, but I'm not very good at drawing. So I always have a flannel graph board too, and I tell flannel graph with Betty Lukin's materials because it's really nice, and deaf people love visuals, especially if it's really colorful. So there, I'm applying the flannel graph story to the board, and I'm drawing pictures, trying to explain God made all these things day 1, 2, 3, 4. And when I get to day 4, I look down at Carlos, who's sitting right there on the sofa. We got several deaf people here, deaf adults. And you could see this look in his face like, what are you talking about? It's like, Carlos. And I said, tem problema. Is there a problem? Something I said, something I did. And then he says this. Now, obviously, this would have been in Brazilian sign language. He says, what is that? What does that mean? I said, oh. So I got on the whiteboard and I wrote D-E-U-S, Deus, God. He says, D-E-U-S, God. So I look at the other deaf and I've been teaching them and they know who God is by now. And I say, can you explain it to him? So they're all trying to explain God to him. And he's like, no concept of what in the world that is. He's 33 years of age. In a Roman Catholic country where you would think everybody at least knows who God and Jesus and the Bible. Even if they've got other things wrong. And I put up a real quick prayer. Oh, God, what do I do? God said, tell the rest of the story. So I told the rest of the story, day 5, day 6, day 7. I put up my flannel graph figures, and it was over. And we sat and ate, and we'd been there about 4 hours or so. They went home. I went home. I told Joshua on the way home, said, Joshua, I bet we never see them again. The next week they were there, the next week, the next week, the next week, every week. Months went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by. I come to the door that next next Friday night. And they let me in, and Josec Fernando, who owns the apartment, who's deaf, he's also blind in one eye, he says, I have a surprise for you. I'm like, yeah, what is it? He says, it's in there. Pointed towards the living room. So I walk in the living room. I look around. I see nothing that's a surprise. And he looks at Carlos and he says, Carlos, tell him. Tell me. And Carlos does this. I want saved. I look at Jose Fernando. And when you're teaching through creation to Christ, that word saved in the way that he said it doesn't come up exactly like that. That's another story. I looked at him and said, how does he know to say I want to be saved? He says, you come on Friday night and teach the Bible. And I forgot to tell you this. Jose Fernando and his wife took meticulous notes, so much so that I eventually started copying my notes and bringing them and just giving them to them. And then they would write in the edges, deaf couple, because they took so many notes. They wanted to remember it all and study it during the week. But on Tuesday night and on Thursday night, they come back. And my wife and I, we teach them what you've been teaching us all these months. Really? You've been teaching Carlos and Marisol? Wow. So now I have to deal with Carlos. I want saved. I wonder what he really understands. I don't know how well they've taught. I just led him to Christ about 6 months ago. I don't know what they're really teaching and how much they got across to him. Because just 3 months ago, he didn't even know who God was. What's this? What's this? He has no idea. So I have to interrogate him. So I start asking questions. And all the questions are positive. And so I go through the whole gospel, about 45 minutes, which is short. And I said, does that make sense? He said, yes. Do you want to trust Christ as your personal Savior and repent of your sin? Yes. He doesn't understand something. That's what I thought. So I go back to him. I ask him again. He says, yes. So I go through the gospel for about 20 minutes. I ask him the question. He says, yes, he wants to be saved. I thought, he didn't even know who God was 3 months ago. I don't know how in the world this is going to turn out. I really don't want him to make a false profession. But let me go through this one more time. This is literal truth. When somebody doesn't even know who God is, and 3 months later, they're saying, I want to be saved. So I go through it again, about 15 minutes. Do you want to be saved? Does this make sense? Yes, yes. So I look at him, I say, okay. Get on the floor, kneel down, talk to God. You tell God that you want to be saved. And that you want to trust Christ, because I went through the plan of salvation. And he hit the floor. And Marisol hit the floor. Then these other deaf who had already been saved, just camaraderie, I guess, they all got on the floor too. And it's like, oh, I guess I better get on the floor. So I get on the floor and I say, pray. And I really, honestly, folks, honestly, I really didn't expect him to pray a prayer that I would understand that would be a sinner's prayer. And he did. And then she did. The next week, when I came back to that Bible study, the other deaf there said this, you can't believe Carlos. He has changed so much. His parents are Shintoist. They're saying, what happened to Carlos? A missionary took the gospel of Jesus Christ and gave it to a lost Carlos and Marisol, and they trusted Christ. They didn't even know who God was just a few months ago. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. put this table right in the middle. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you. Here we have what? There we go. Acts chapter 1, Acts 1, 8, the great distribution. That's what I call this. Because you know the Great Commission, right? You also know about the Great Commandment. Well, I'm calling this the Great Distribution. And I think any of you who know the passage will automatically say, I understand what that is. I know where he's going with this. Good. That makes it a lot easier because I'm going to go through the verse really fast. Would you stand with me for a moment while I read this? Jesus says to his disciples just before ascending into heaven, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all that's in your word. Lord, I thank you for this one verse that tells us that are filled with the Holy Ghost that we're to be witnesses and where, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be distributed not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, all Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Lord, we have heard that so many times. And some of us do fairly well with it. But yet, Lord, I believe you want to do something else in our lives this morning as we illustrate this passage. Give me wisdom as I speak. May your Holy Spirit use it greatly as I visualize it so that our eyes can grasp it in a little better way and apply it to our hearts. Lord, please call out people for missions. Please, oh God, we need more missionaries. We need more laborers, oh Lord of the harvest. And I pray that this morning you would choose some, call some. Maybe even someone would volunteer to be involved in the great distribution of the gospel around the world to the uttermost parts of the earth. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Real quick, like, I think I turned it off. Maybe I got to go this way. But ye, who's that talking about? You and you and you and you and you and you. And it's talking about you too. It's talking about you. Ye shall receive power. Now, hopefully all of you that I point the finger at are saved. Because if you're not saved, you don't have this power, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? A lot of things. If we had a doctrines class right now, we could go through a whole lot of things, starting with the Holy Spirit convicting, the Holy Spirit sealing, the Holy Spirit teaching, comforting. We could go through a whole list of things that the Holy Spirit does. But here it says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, here's something that the Holy Spirit does when he comes on us. He then sends us to be witnesses. But ye shall receive power. When he gives that power, the power of Acts 1:8 is not so you can live a holy life or do a lot of other things. It's so you can be a witness. That's what the text says. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit does give us power for other things. But right here, ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is, for us to be witnesses. Now, here's my question. If we're not witnessing, does that mean we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit? Or does it mean that we're wasting the power of the Holy Spirit? Because he said we would be indwelt. We would have the Holy Spirit and he would give us power. What for? To be witnesses. So if we're not witnessing, I wonder what that implies. You shall be witnesses unto me. Whoops. Where? Both in Jerusalem. Okay, so this morning, you live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. You live in Jerusalem. 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 Excuse me. Jerusalem. You live in Jerusalem. You live in Jerusalem. You live in Jerusalem. 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 Where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? There's nobody in Jerusalem here. Okay, so we've got to be witnesses of Jesus both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. You live in Judea. Judea, 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 Judea. Where do you live? 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 Where? 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 Judea. Guess what? Barbara, you live in Samaria. Oh, I forgot to do the slide. And Samaria. You're in Samaria. Pastor, you're in Samaria over there. Samaria, Samaria, Samaria. You live in Jerusalem? Samaria. Samaria. You live in Jerusalem?
Samaria.
Where do you live? Judea. Judea, where do you live? Where do you live? Where? 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 Good. Where, Pastor?
Samaria.
Samaria. Thanks, Vicky, for telling him. And unto the other parts of the earth. That's where the rest of you live. You live in the part of the world. Where do you live?
The uttermost.
Where do you live? Where do you live, Jonathan? Where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? You're right. Yeah, good. I like that. He's already getting into this. Where do you live? Where do you live? Where do you live? Uttermost. You know what? I need two more people to live in Jerusalem. Would you like to live in Jerusalem? Come here. I think you need to move to Jerusalem because I'm going to need help in Jerusalem. Come here, Deborah. Here, you can sit here. Good. You're going to like living in Jerusalem, believe me. And Isaac, you get to live in Jerusalem too. So, we have been commanded to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I forgot to tell you, I'm going to come this morning to preach. But what I really came was, I came to take an offering. Could I have two ushers, please, to help me take this offering? No, I'm teasing. Literally, I came to take an offering. The offering that I want to take at the end of the service is a little different than normal because I want to take a man-size offering. You shall be witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. But you have to go to do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have to go. You have to give yourself. You have to put yourself in an offering plate to do this. What God wants you to do. Now, let me help the illustration out a little bit. Those of you who live in Jerusalem will be very glad you live in Jerusalem. Because for us to reach the world, we have to have not only people to give themselves to go and to preach and to teach, we also have to have gospel. So we've got gospel. Actually, I need to get it up a little bit higher so you can see it. We need some gospel to give to the world that needs Jesus Christ. Now, just for you to know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross and gave His blood, He died so that there would be enough gospel for everyone. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's enough for everyone here this morning. So I don't want you to worry. Because I really do want you to have some. You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, here I need some help on this. If we're going to reach Jerusalem for Christ, we have to know some methodologies to help reach Jerusalem. What would you say is a way that we at Stanley Heights Baptist Church can take the gospel to our Jerusalem? I need some help. What are some methods, some ideas? Come on, what? Travel with other missionaries. Missions trips. I like that. Especially, you know, sometimes we send them here. I forgot you here. Take two. Jerusalem. Okay, let's keep going. I need some fast answers, some methodologies on how to reach Jerusalem. Church services. That's one way. If we invite people to church. Something else. Let's go. Radio. Great. Here. Radio, let's start a radio broadcast and make sure we get it out there. Yes, ma'am.
We could put it online.
Online church services, preaching online, making videos. Come on, folks, I need some more fast. Pass out gospel tracts. Very good. Here, let's pass out some tracts. I'm listening. TV, we could have our own TV program.
We could have our own church.
We could get shirts with Bible verses on it and invite people to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Yes, sir. What else? What else can we do? What else do we do? Wait, say it again.
Facebook.
Yeah, Paul has a Facebook page. He puts Bible verses on to reach beyond us even. Here, you got one. Don't worry about it. Send missionaries, but we're not in the uttermost. We're talking about Jerusalem.
Nerf wars!
What an incredible idea. Here, Nerf wars. Here, more Nerf wars. Yeah, Nerf wars. That's a great... Music. We could have Christian music and try to have concerts. What else can we do? Through art. Through art, we can evangelize people through art. And through things like the Ark and the Creation Museum. And what else can we do? Nobody in Jerusalem over here.
Social media,
good. What else?
Upward
basketball, very good. We got national hoops as well. Other basketball. What? Rescue mission work, yay! Rescue mission for Jerusalem. Let's get the gospel. What else can we do? VBS. I love that. VBS. Here. You like Reese's? Huh? You do? Okay. You like Snickers? All right. There you go. Here. What else can we do to reach Jerusalem? Talk to your neighbors. What? Give money to the work here at home so that we can get the gospel, buy tracts and buy radio time and TV time.
Boys,
yes.
Camp.
Boys camp, girls camp, all kinds of camps.
Acting.
She's really dramatic, isn't she?
Preaching,
yes. What else?
Bible studies.
Wait. I just forgot something. I forgot Judea. Should we give some? No, let's just give it out in Jerusalem. Jerusalem.
Teaching other people.
Bible studies, evangelism training. I forgot Judea. Are you in Judea? You like Twitch?
I do.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. In case you don't care for that kind of gospel. You see, we've got gospel the way you like it. See, the way you like it, we're going to provide it. We want to make our seekers happy. So we'll do whatever we can to get the gospel. Judea. Oh, there's somebody. Patch clubs. That's a good idea. Invite people to patch clubs. Patch clubs. Let's go, patch clubs. What was the first thing you said? Convincing them to give them candy?
No, convincing them by giving them candy.
By giving them candy, convince them.
Newspaper?
Newspaper. A newspaper. We can put ads in the newspaper.
Posters.
We can put posters up.
Signs.
Yeah, signs like, if you think this is hot, God. Seen that? Now, I don't know how much that works. That's up to God. Somebody's trying to send a message somehow that's different. All right, so we give this. Did you notice that I still got lots? And there's plenty for everybody. What do you think?
Does anyone care for my soul?
What did he say? You don't know? Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? What did he say?
Does anyone care for my soul?
Does anyone care for his soul? What? Thank you, my son. Dear sir, we are sorry to inform you that three missionaries in Liberia have just been martyred. John and Betty Livingston were holding a Bible study in the village of Akure when a group of three men entered the hut with machetes. They were then beheaded for refusing to refrain from teaching the Holy Scriptures. In another hut of the village, summer missionary David Judson was also killed, bleeding to death due to his many head wounds. He was in a Bible study with three young teens interested in the story of the Bible. Please keep their families in prayer. Also, please send replacements. The need of Liberia is great. In Christ for lost Liberian souls, William Taylor. Wonder what we should do about that. Would you take this and give it to a lady back there, please? Way back there in the back. I think we need to send a replacement. I like that. There's urgency in getting the gospel. You know what? Hey, would you take this and give it to someone else over there? We're doing our best, brother. We're doing our best. Actually, if I remember reading the letter right, there were three missionaries beheaded and then the summer missionary. Would you take this back there and give it out, please? We need more people to go. Would you go?
I can't go because I've never gone to Bible college.
She's never been to Bible college, so she can't go. Seems I remember a little lady going off to China without Bible training and winning a lot of orphans. Anybody ever hear that story before? Now, I believe in training, don't get me wrong. Well, would you go?
I won't go because I don't want to leave my family and friends here.
You don't want to leave your family and friends. But what about them? She doesn't want to leave her family and friends. So you're going to stay here because of your family and friends and let them go to hell? Well, what about you? Will you go?
I'm afraid of spiders and snakes. I can't go.
Spiders and snakes scare you? I mean, you won't go tell them about Jesus because of spider and snakes? Would you take that back there, please? Oh, do you all have enough or not? That's relevant? Do you have enough or you need more? You need more? You need more? Let's give Jerusalem some more. For God so loved the world. What about them? Come here. Come here. Let's pray about this. Come here. Let's pray. Oh God, this man shows a little sign of interest. What do we do with him? Can we send him to the mission field, Lord? You mean if we trained him, we could? Oh, okay, Lord, that's a good idea. Oh, God, we dedicate him to you because he was sitting there feeling guilty that he got it all. Lord, would you use this young man? Amen. I got an idea. We want to train you. Would you come with me? Brother LeBron, I want to give you some candy, okay. Some more. Would you take him and give one out over there?
Okay.
And do that about 3 times and then come back and I'll talk to you again. Huh. Training people to do this. What a novel idea.
I got an idea of making schools.
Making schools? You've got all kinds of ideas, Deborah.
Give out flags with verses, and you can make little bouncy balls.
I think we need to put her on our evangelism committee team because this girl's got ideas. You still have some?
I have some.
Okay, would you got to take him on another trip.
Okay, that's right. Here's some.
Wait, you got to show him what to do, LeBron. Yeah, you got to tell him what to do. You just can't let him do it. He might do it wrong. And we really want him trained.
Bible studies, and we can make Bibles.
We can print Bibles and distribute Bibles? What a great idea. Man, I'm glad you live in Jerusalem. You got all these great ideas. I still need laborers. Would any of you like to go?
Come over to Macedonia and help us.
Oh, man. I can't find any laborers. Wait. Let me get some over here in Judea. Judea. LeBron, is he trained?
He's doing good.
He's doing good? All right, come here. Would you go give that one to somebody and then come back? Well, look at the urgency he's going with. You'd expect him to kind of go like this, right? To the mission field. Look at him running back. Folks, we've got plenty. Here, we'll give somebody else one. LeBron. I would like for you and your wife to go and give out the gospel, please. We need somebody older who can do this, who knows what they're doing. Because it's very apparent that the younger generation isn't real excited about doing this.
Plant more churches?
What a great idea! Come here. Now, if we're going to plant more churches, we have to be creative. But for you as a single lady, now I'm going to do something because remember, we're just playing, right? Okay. But there's a real story behind all this. So for this story, Isaac, I want you to marry your sister. Okay, no, we're just playing. Okay, here. Because, see, we have to have men be church planters. So he's going to be the church planter. And I want you, here, take two. I want you to go with him. And he's going to preach, and you have ladies' Bible studies. Go.
Thank you, sir.
Here. Now, you have a bunch. Would you go and share that?
I won't go, because I don't want to waste my talents on mission field.
She doesn't want to waste her talent on the mission field. Folks, I had a man in full-time ministry in his 70s tell me that only people who couldn't make it here in the United States should be foreign missionaries. I couldn't believe he told me that after I'd already served 30 years as a missionary. Did any of you get the gospel more than once up here in Jerusalem? You did? How many did you get?
Seven.
How much you got? You can't even count them. Let me tell you something. Listen, you know, some people don't get saved the first time they hear it. They have to hear it again and again and again. How many of you in the auditorium got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? Would you raise your hand? The first time you heard it, you got saved. One. How many times did you hear it, Brother Ty, before you got saved? A dozen? What about you, Kyra? You heard it a lot. What about you, Tom? A lot. Aren't you glad we keep giving it in Jerusalem? Now, for you people that live in South America over there, for you people that live in Europe, for you people that live in Africa, and for all the rest of you that live in Asia, we're sorry you don't live in Jerusalem. Oh, wait a minute. Did you notice we had somebody move over here to Judea? This couple moved from South America to our Judea. I think they ought to have the gospel. What do you think? You want some more? You like this? I bet he has a gift of mercy. We'll see. Another story. How many of you in Judea have more than one piece of candy? How many of you in Samaria have any? None? None of you shared any with them in Samaria at all? How much do you have? Would you share? There's three people in Samaria. Would you share one? Just share one. We can't reach Samaria all at the same time. He went far beyond. Here, keep it going. How many of you in the uttermost part of the earth now have a piece of candy in your hand? Would you raise your hand? All right. Now, if you don't have a piece of candy in your hand, would you stand up, please? What? We've been giving candy out for more than 30 minutes and you don't have any? What's wrong with you? You know what's wrong? We need help. Huh. What are we going to do about all them? What are we going to do about them? What are we going to do about them? Look at Asia. More than a fourth of the world's population is there. What are we going to do? Look, there's people here in Samaria and Judea that...
Row by row.
Row by row. That'd be a good idea, but you got to remember there's 7.8 billion people in the world today. That's a lot. What do you think?
That everyone in the church should share.
Everybody should share? Well, let's do this. Let's do this. He shared some. Would you share some of what you have? Mm-hmm. You would. Would you get two of them, please? And give them to two people over here who are standing up. Give two over there to people who are standing up. Go. Would you come? I need you. I'm calling her into missions. Would you go to Asia, please? There's a big, bald, ugly guy back there in the back that doesn't have any. I was talking about him, yeah. That was good, brother. One at a time. Just one at a time, but go a little slower. Wait. You've been called not to sit. Come here. One at a time. Keep going and coming. If you're standing, when you get a candy, you sit down, please. But until you get one, don't sit down. But I want you to look at this world right now. This is what it looks like. We have been giving the gospel out for more than 200 years in modern missions, not to count before. With ships and boats, airplanes and internet. And you know what? The world's just getting larger, not smaller. Look. Come here. Do that again. Look what he's doing. Do it again. What's he doing? That's a picture of the world. They're saying, give me something that will give me peace. And when you get it, then what?
I'm happy.
You're happy, amen. You got saved. Not just because he received it into his hand, but he's going to trust God in his heart. Are you happy? Are you happy yet? See, she's not happy yet. You know why? She hasn't received Christ yet. No one's even told her. Oh, somebody just told her. Praise the Lord. All right, let's just stop for now. Let me finish up. Wait, you got one more? Go ahead, finish up. Actually, go ahead, have a seat. I need one of these people that moved from another part of the world and came here. I need them to go and give it to somebody now too. Folks, there are people moving from all over the world into Chattanooga. They don't look like you and me. They don't talk like you and me. They come from a different culture. And they have a soul just like I do, just like you do. And look how many are still standing. And this is just a small church. We've been able to actually get a lot out because of being a small church. But when you've got 7.8 billion people, it doesn't go that quickly. Yes, ma'am. What was that? Would you like to give the gospel? Would you come here, please? Find two people back there in the back in Asia. Back in Asia, and give them the gospel, please. You see, I had to call her to go. But I didn't have to call her. She volunteered. You see, how do you get in the military? You either get drafted or you sign up. Now, there are people out there that will tell you, don't go if God hasn't called you. God never called me. God had been working in my heart my whole life, just giving me a burden. Without calling me, I went. I said, I'm going to go. No one else is going. I'm going to go. And I didn't quit. I'm still doing it. We need people who are called. And we need people who have a heart for God and for people and for souls who will say, oh God, here am I, send me. And while we're talking right now, there's missionaries in other places dying. There are missionaries coming off the field because their parents are getting old and someone has to take care of them here. There's missionaries coming off the field because they fell into sin. There's missionaries that are coming off the field for different reasons. Some good, some bad. Where are the replacements? How are we going to reach the rest of the world for Christ if we don't have laborers? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, we've been giving candy out for almost 40 minutes, and yet we still haven't given gospel to everyone who is standing up without. Lord, please forgive us, because you've told us to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost. But we're not doing the job like we should. You've told us to pray for laborers, and some of us do. Some of us actually do. It's even on the front of our bulletin every Wednesday night. Pray for laborers. Lord, where are the laborers? Oh God, some of those laborers are sitting in the pew in front of me right now. But I don't know how many will give themselves. I don't know how many will feel called. I don't know how many of them would want to, quote, waste their lives in missions. Oh God, they're not wasting lives, they're investing lives, because there's a recompense, there's a reward. Lord, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet all the people that have already passed on into glory, that my wife and I and our children and our church members that we trained have had the opportunity to lead into Christ. And yet, Lord, there's places where the need is so great. And Lord, I didn't even mention the deaf, the blind, the autistic, the Down syndrome, the crippled who get ignored, passed over. Lord, there's so many that still need the gospel in Africa and Asia and South America and the islands of Central America, Caribbean. Lord, Oceania and all the islands out there around Australia, Europe. Lord, where are the laborers? Where are they? Oh God, as we give the invitation right now, may you work and do something very special in our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated if you're standing. But I haven't finished giving my part of the invitation. Just want you to know there's plenty of candy still to go around, because we didn't give it all out. Now God gives the invitation. I teared up just looking over here and seeing some Brazilians that were saved in our first church plant in Brazil. I led her parents to Christ. I was pastor to his grandma She loved me like a kid. We've seen a lot of their family saved in Brazil. How does God take somebody like me and use them? Sometimes I don't even know. But He does. And I see people out there. I'm going to Africa next week for a month. And one of the hardest things I do in my life is when I leave Africa. When I left São Paulo, Brazil. When I leave India. I weep every time. Because I don't want to leave. I just want to give my life there. Because years ago, without having a plate like this, I stepped into it and I gave Him my all. And somehow He's blessed it. And as the music begins to play and the invitation song moves forward, the invitation is simply this. Would you come step in the plate and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Simple as that. I don't know where He'll send you. I don't know when. But you know this morning that you want to give your life to something bigger. And you'd say, Christ, Jesus, God, I want to give my life to give the gospel to those who have never heard. As the piano plays, God spoke into your heart. You're still seated. People are going to watch you. Would you come? If God's spoken to someone's heart, and stand in the plate, and I'll pray with you if that happens. You come now if that's you. Go stand by her and ask her why she came, and then just pray with her, please. Anyone? You'll give your life for missions to tell people about Jesus Christ? Anyone? Stand in the plate, please. I'm gonna talk to you in just a minute. After she gets out of the plate, I'm gonna have you get in it. You wanna get in it? Isaac, why did you come?
I wanted to go to Gabon, Africa, because there is practically no one there, just one missionary that's trying to get there.
You think God can use Isaac in Gabon, Africa? If He can use David Ben in Brazil, He can use Isaac. Brother Ed, would you come pray with him, please? I'm going to have him pray with you. Stand right over here. Ed, there, you want us? Why did you come?
It quero ser treinado para poder ajudar. Eu penso muito tempo já, né? Por isso que a gente se aproximou e...
Pastor, would you pray with them, please? Anyone else? Pastor Ed. Thank you, Paul. Why did you come, Paul?
I don't know what the...
Stand beside her while she prays with her. I want you to don't stay. I want you to stay in here. Come here. Tell her why you came to stand in this place. Wouldn't it be a shame for a church like Stanley Heights Baptist Church not to go to the uttermost part of the earth? It's good to send out someone like Michael Henson. What a blessing, what a blessing. But that's been a few years ago. What about the next generation? She's finished. Do you have a camera? Do you have a phone?
No.
Do you have a phone? Do you have your cell phone on you? Any of them? The majority of people who give their life to serve Christ, the majority are this age. Isaac's age. Doesn't have to be that way. God can use older folks to go too. But don't ever belittle a child of any age giving themselves to Christ. Because God can do great things with their life. When they get in the plate and give their all.